The following program contains mature subject matter. Listener discretion is advised.
Taking your relationship to the next level. This is Passion with Dr. Lori.
Welcome to Passion, a show that's all about love, sex, and relationships. Tonight on the program, we explore the different ways people express their desire, their passion for sex, their behaviors. This is a regular feature on Passion, and tonight you can ask your question. BDSM, bondage, discipline, sadomasochism, any form of kink and kinky sex. My guests are Pierre and Catherine of BDSMCircle.com. They've been 2 years now.
I think we're in our fifth year now.
Oh my goodness. Time just flies, considering we're just about almost completed into our 18th year. So
wow.
But it's great, and it answers questions, and people always have questions about the geeky stuff, especially, and dare I say it, with movies like 50 Shades. I know you hate when I talk about it.
You're not going to yell again. You know that.
I'm not going to yell.
Well, we did.
Oh, you're
going to
yell.
It.
Yes. Okay. So we're going to talk about that. But yeah, let me just set out our phone numbers and our contact information. So if you have any questions about kink or BDSM or anything of the sort, you can text us at 514-800 or 71010. If you'd like to call in, 800-491-2523. So no spoiler, right? Because I haven't seen it. I'm going with all the girlfriends. We're going on Sunday. Now, I'm not like the books were enjoyable. Fine. They were all right. The first movie was, you know, it was okay. Like, it was not great filmmaking by any stretch. However, having watched the phenomenon of just, never mind the movie, but of the book, mm-hmm. how so many people were reading it, and so many people who had never even once for one iota considered BDSM play or anything like that, suddenly were, their interests was piqued, and they were kind of like,
But this is what worries me, because is this a fad? Is this like just a fashion thing? No, we're going to submit, or we're going to dominate for a while and then move on to the next thing?
Well, maybe.
Well, for some people, but for other people, they may actually discover something. And although, you know, maybe it wasn't, you know, my favorite, there were some, like what we would call DS in it.
What's DS? Where,
dominant submission, but basically, and specifically where he's kind of being the leader, shall we say, and instructing her to do things,
mm-hmm.
which could be, you know, removing underwear, let's say,
right,
at some point,
instructing her to do that,
you know,
right,
and in a, or public play where she's doing something in public that other people don't realize, right?
Okay,
kind of along the lines. It wasn't in the movie, but a friend that who's very straight, who went to Kentucky Fried Chicken and got chicken and dinner in a raincoat.
With nothing on.
With nothing on, right. Just her stockings.
Now, when you
and
say
heels.
Straight, you're meaning like vanilla.
Yeah, she's normally pretty. Mm-hmm. She's actually heterosexual and vanilla normally, mm-hmm. but for it was a very erotic thing, you know. And it looked like she was wearing a dress and high heels and stuff, but she wasn't wearing the dress
because there was a secret now between her.
Yes,
and
they found that very
person.
Erotic to go to that, and so that's kind of like a DS thing.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of women would find that very erotic or naughty to do, where it's not going too far.
Because mm-hmm.
They don't actually want to be caught. They just want to be the scared of being caught, right?
Right.
And
or doing something a little osé or a little outside
risky.
Their comfort zone,
exactly.
Or risky. And that becomes the kinky aspect
exactly.
of it.
Exactly.
Right.
You know, the movie, my beef is the way it was marketed. You know, it was marketed as this big BDSM movie. And I always give the same example about if Titanic was a movie about a boat that sink, or is it a movie about, you know, the love between
two people.
The
right.
two people.
Right.
And I think
that's a
problem. Because the movie itself, it's not a great movie, but there's some good stuff about it. The photography is beautiful. I think Catherine enjoyed really much the actor when he would undress.
Well, he's a very good looking man.
Oh, and he's got a bit of stubble in this movie.
Okay.
And they have his hair a little dark. He's looking pretty good.
Okay.
I still wish he'd have his hair a little bit more like his regular color, which is a little lighter. But, and oh, God, I wish he had his Irish
accent. So for the purpose of it, the purpose of entertainment and the purpose of maybe even a little bit of arousal and what have you, it succeeded, right?
It'd succeeded. It'd be a good rental for right. sure.
I think my point of in bringing this up is more about the education piece. So the part that you have a whole bunch of people who have never had exposure to any kind of BDSM that they've ever even, forget about experiencing themselves, but maybe never seen. And they go see this movie and they, so they walk away thinking, well, this is what BDSM is. This is it. This is it.
This is one of my major beef because they talk about a lot of stuff about BDSM, but not all of it, not in context. So somebody is going to look at the movie and say, oh, it's easy to do S&M or stuff like this. And mm-hmm. no, you know, they talk about safe word, but never use them. They don't talk about the real negotiation because you have this negotiation where in the first movie, they're sitting at the table and they're basically looking at this document.
A contract, yeah.
Which is... a mm-hmm. joke, you know, mm-hmm. because
that doesn't actually happen in
no,
real life.
Because well, real negotiation is a discussion between the two people.
Well, yes, but I have contracts. I've had contracts with no, I know. But also talk it out, right?
Right.
And we usually put in stuff like, you know, it doesn't interfere with your work and the standard ones. But yeah, we have contracts.
I know, but
so that was somewhat real. Like
yeah,
somewhat.
Okay.
Yeah, but you talk about it. You don't negotiate with the contract. I mean, mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's not
these are things.
Up.
Somebody who said I read the or I saw the 50 Shades of thing and decide to be a BDSMer and say I know everything because I saw the movie. Well, I'm kind of expected somebody to die
well,
at some
that's,
point. And
that's,
this is
yeah,
this
but
is
that's
like going to watch a racing movie and think you're a race car driver
or watching porn and thinking that's all that sex is.
Well, we talk about this and we know it's a problem. Mm-hmm. Because young kids, or young adults, I should say, this is how they now they learn about sex, and it's a problem.
Well, that's why I was bringing it up. It's like, it can trigger an interest, and maybe people see it and say, this is something I'd like to try. However, I think people need to ask the right questions.
Do more research. If you think you are interested by BDSM, do research. Just not go there and out there and just do things without knowing what you're doing because you may get hurt or hurt somebody
badly. Right,
it can
be dangerous, right.
You know what? Start slow, too.
Yes, thank you.
For anything new, you should start slow anyway. Yeah. 514-800 or 71010 if you have questions for Pierre and Catherine of BDSM Circle. 2523. Coming up, I do want to talk about... a lot of people who they don't exactly wear a sign that says, hey, I'm into BDSM. But is it even necessary to come out of the closet? And who do you do that to? And who should know and who shouldn't know? And how, you know, how private? And so there's a lot of questions around that. And sometimes you may have a friend who suddenly tells you that this is something they've been doing. And you're like, oh, I had no idea, right? So things like that and how that judgment can happen and who you should tell and how you mm-hmm. kind of monitor the or how you foresee the kinds of reactions that people are, you know, going to give you. So let's talk about that coming up and any questions you have about BDSM and alternative sexuality to Nushin.
She can help improve your love life in a few different ways. Passion with Dr. Lori.
That's our BDSM theme song.
Your favorite song.
I know. We never play any other theme song, but on this night, we play this song. And I love that song. Until I saw the video, I didn't even realize it was all about BDSM. I didn't see the movie Suicide Squad, I wasn't sure. So I didn't know. Anyhow, we are talking alternative sexuality tonight. Pierre and Catherine of BDSM Circle in studio. If you have questions, 514-800 or 71010. If you'd like to call us, 1-800-40. And Jeff from Aurelia is calling us. Hi, Jeff.
Good evening, Lori.
Hi.
Back in the late 1990s and in the early 2000s, mm-hmm. In Toronto, we used to have the Fetish Masquerade get-togethers every month.
Every month?
Yeah.
Okay.
Once a month. And it was really interesting for us who were the, shall we say, seasoned practitioners.
Okay.
Because some of the novices would come and they would have the opportunity to actually watch people doing scenes.
Right.
you know, and then ask questions. And I think that that's the most informative thing. Actually, it's kind of funny because on the movie network right now, 50 Shades of Grey is on.
Oh, really? Okay.
Now, one of the things about the 50 Shades of Grey, and I thought was kind of good, and that was to write down on a list, because everybody has their fantasies.
Right, and their limits.
What in that contract were referred to as soft limits and hard limits.
Right.
You know, stuff that really, you know, like blood play and stuff like that, mm-hmm. you know, and scat and whatnot, you know, but there are different, and I think that's why the title 50 Shades of Grey is so appropriate, because there are so many different shades of the BDSM scene.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
And you have to find what is the niche, because you may, a partner or a couple, they might have fantasies of something, but then the reality of participating in that activity, oh, this isn't turning out the way that I thought that it would be, but at least you have the opportunity to say, it wasn't for me, as opposed to always having that question mark dangling there, you know, wondering, geez, I wonder if I should have tried that. And that's why I would always suggest that for anybody that's a novice, find out where there are scenes where, you know, where there is the play taking place, and then talk to people, because there's nothing worse than seeing people not having fun and not getting out of it what you can actually do accomplish, and the exchange, the power exchange is exhilarating, both for the sub who's the giver and the dom who is the receiver, you know, and the respect, because that's the number one thing that I used to hear so many times when I would be participating with my partners, and then have and the amount of respect that I would give to them was always recognized by the people who were observing. And I think that's the most crucial thing. So, you know, like, don't leave that question mark in the back of your mind. Go and read.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Research, as Pierre was saying, do the research.
Do the research. Yeah. Research is always so valuable. And if it's something that you really, really like, and you're not sure about a partner, Give them a piece of fiction, a book that shows how people have had appropriate exchanges. Marina Anderson is a really great author, you know,
on BDSM.
Yes, okay. Absolutely.
Catherine has something to say. I just wanted to.
I do, actually. I agree with an awful lot of what you're saying. And we do have a website called BDSM Circle. And on it, one of the things is a BDSM checklist. So it goes over, I don't know, 100 or so. Like, there's tons and tons of different activities. Whether or not you've done it, whether or not it was online or in real life, because unfortunately you'll talk to some people who've had online play and consider that, they'll say that they've done things when they haven't actually. So it's all very clear whether you liked it, whether you didn't, whether you'd like to try it again. So it's a really good tool for negotiation. You know, it's not the end all and be all, but as you go through things, you know, you'll often find things that the sub or even the dom are kind of curious about. And like you said, there's often things that you will try that don't live up to your expectations, and other things I found that, you know, can be a real pleasant surprise and are much more enjoyable activities than people might have thought.
Right, and some things that are completely non-negotiable.
Oh, well, absolutely.
One last thing I'd like to leave you with, and that when I used to be a corporate trainer, I would always insist, remember, you have to crawl before you walk, and you have to walk before you run.
True.
And that's you have to take things in moderation and work yourself up to what is got to be your comfort zone,
right.
And that's where you're going to have the most enjoyment.
Jeff, can I ask you a question?
Absolutely.
So in terms of, we were talking before about coming out and what have you, do people around you know that you're a practitioner of BDSM?
Yeah, okay. Absolutely, because I'm not embarrassed about it.
Okay.
And it's so funny, because it's the, you know, sometimes I'll see something that, oh geez, I'd like to use that in my playroom, and somebody will say, your playroom? And I'd say, yeah. And then all of a sudden they say, playroom. Oh, I know what. Really?
So you
and then they ask questions.
Okay, and so you
also
inform.
It's amazing the number of people, the women that I've met, that when they find out that I'm a dom, and they're single and I am, that they will come to me. They have come to me and said, "Listen, I would really like to take a little trip down this road. Would you introduce me to some things?"
Hmm. Cool.
And when you're out up front and with it, it's surprising the number of people who you once again you find out that they've been participating, but they're maybe a little shy, and I'm not.
Well, I guess you've had years of practice too,
well,
right?
Yeah, I'm a 63-year-old guy, and I've been up to this for about, oh, I'd say maybe 35 years.
Wow. Well, thank you for calling and sharing, and you're welcome on, to join us every month, and we'll ask you, we'll pick your brain too.
Well, Lori, whenever
Jeff.
There's something that I think that I can actually add, I'll call, and if you can use me, that's fine. Just don't abuse me.
Yeah, aww. I'm sure.
Okay.
Thanks, Jeff.
Have a good night.
Take care. You too. Bye-bye. What a pleasure to listen to him and to hear from somebody who's also another person who's
regular
practitioner. Yeah, and for life, like literally.
Yeah, a lifestyle is someone who kind of, to me, incorporates it into their life. I mean, he has a playroom and he's...
Like you have a dungeon.
Well, yes. Mm-hmm. And it's funny what you said about coming out, because I just came out to somebody a couple of weeks ago. And we were looking at our schedules. It was a friend of mine from school. I've known her like 7-8 years. And, it's not that I am shy or whatever, but it hadn't come up in conversation.
Right.
I don't always...
You don't go up and say, hey, by the way, this is what I do in the bedroom.
Well, exactly. Right. I don't... Like, you don't talk about a blowjob that you mm-hmm. you had the other day. I mean, mm-hmm. It's just not what you talk about. However, we were going to our schedules and we're looking about when we're going to meet up. And I said, no, I can't have the radio that night. And it's like, oops. And she's like, what? So, you get to that point. It's like, okay, here we go. And it's all cool and it was fine. But, it's like, because I forget that I haven't come out because it's not something I hide.
Right, but it's not something that you advertise. Well, except
I don't
here,
advertise
but, yeah.
it.
Right,
normally, but if we're on the subject, I'm certainly going to. And I know I've had people that it's like, I remember at work they came up with a subject. I said, no, that's not right. That is not unsafe that way. And blah 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 blah. Mm-hmm. And I had I was the only woman in the office, and I had all of these men kind of turn look at me. I went.
I just outed myself right here.
I kind of did. But you know what? At least you're going to be safe now. But so right. it's one
and
of
the
these
reactions
weird
you've had, the reactions you've had when you were coming out?
It's interesting because I'm also in a club, for instance, that where people are predominantly it's female and they're predominantly quite a bit older than
what do you
I
mean,
am.
A club?
Like a group.
Oh, a group. Okay.
A craft
like
group.
An interest group.
Like
okay.
An mm-hmm. interest group. And I was heard on the radio, so I kind of got outed that way.
Okay.
And so I was at one of the meetings, and someone said about the radio. I said, oh, yeah, that would have been me. Right? And kind of waited, and it was like, And a couple of them were a little funny to me, but... most of them, they're kind of over it now.
Did they ask you any questions or did they just kind of ignore it and pretend it never
Well,
never
I had a
said?
Few that kind of like really hinted, but like I just wasn't going to go there because it's not part of my craft or that life, right? Like
right.
if I had one-on-one that asked me something, of course I would.
Right.
I would answer any questions, but it's inappropriate there. It's like, you don't...
You weren't going to give a workshop all of a sudden in the middle of crafting.
No,
right.
I mean,
although they would have been thrilled, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, well, hey,
maybe not all of them.
I don't know. I might have been tarred and feathered too, but it's when it's appropriate. But I think a lot of people are like myself, where it's the, if you happen to have friends that have share the, kind of share the interest, and there is, by the way, a BDSM symbol.
There's a symbol. Yeah,
yes,
I've seen that.
It looks like it's called like the triskel, and it's got like little dots. You can look it up online. Somebody started years ago to make money, but I don't think they're making money off it necessarily.
So what, if somebody's wearing that necklace or with that symbol,
that
you kind of know.
Or that, no, that's it.
You know, right.
You know, right? That's the, hey, right. That's me. You don't know necessarily if they're dom or sub or what part they're in, but it's BDSM.
Right.
And so, like, for instance, I have a few things like that, jewelry. Pierre has a watch.
Watch.
That's like it. Right. Are you wearing your watch?
But of course, if you don't know, like I would look at Pierre's watch and say, "Oh, lovely watch." I would have no idea that it has.
But it's kind of a code, right? Because, you know, but if you know, you know.
Right, which sometimes it helps to have a code, you know, some kind of code. We will answer more of your questions on BDSM, alternative sexuality, coming out, but coming out in a different way, coming out as a BDSM-er. Would you do it? Have you? We'd love to hear your thoughts here on Passion.
Whether you need to learn how to talk or something more hands-on, she can help. Passion with Dr. Lori.
Tonight on the program, as we do once a month here, we focus on alternative sexuality. And studies have been done that looked at surveys of people's interests. And at least in Quebec, close to half the population has some interest in BDSM. So it's certainly something we hear more about. And, of course, with movies like Fifth, even more so.
Music, video, magazines.
Well, just like this, Suicide Squad. I mean,
it's an interest for some people, but I really believe it's how some people are wired.
Right. Let's get to the phone lines. Chris from Montreal is calling us. Hi, Chris.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Nice show. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I guess I'm in a closet about all this.
Not anymore. Go ahead.
I guess I would consider myself more of a dom.
Okay.
Question I have, I've had one or two relationships, and we were practicing this together where the other person was more submissive, the woman I was with.
Okay.
And as we got into the relationship, what happened, it started transforming, and they started telling me a bit about their past when they were younger, and they started wanting to relive things that had happened to them that I did not find was.
Mm.
So
you're talking about like abusive situations,
right,
that they might have experienced, okay, that they asked you to kind of simulate.
Right. And at first I thought it was fantasy, but they were still bothered me a bit. And I want to know the situations. I don't even want to say weed out these type of people, but they actually got angry at me because I didn't want.
But it makes you uncomfortable, and I think the two people
made me very uncomfortable,
right? Which has to be respected as well. If you're not comfortable doing something, then it's no longer the play part, right? It's no longer fun,
right? Well, and I want to know, like, are there a percentage of people that want to relive these type of situations sometimes, or? And that's my question. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much, Chris, for calling in. I'm going to just answer that another text, because we got at the same time, mm-hmm. more or less, as Chris was calling us, this question, and then we can put it all together.
Okay.
I've noticed that when I am in fantasy mode and pleasuring myself, I seem to get more aroused when I imagine being dominated almost to the... Is this normal, healthy, or am I messed up? Which, you know, Chris was talking about this. I expressed this desire to my partner. And we tried it. While he pretended to force me to do oral, my pleasure felt confusing and almost degraded, not too great. What is wrong with me? I was molested as a child and deal with issues of self-worth and almost feel like I deserve to be punished at times. Does this, or if one is molested young, does it, or what would cause arousal as adults? What's wrong with me? I feel so ashamed. So I'm going to answer that just from someone who has worked a lot with reality is very confused, awakened at a very young age. I've noticed is women who, too, by the way, who, whatever their initial experiences were, the first acts that arouse them, because let's remember one thing, even if a child is being abused, their body responds, and their body can respond with pleasure, and that brings the shame, especially the shame later on, because they're thinking, how could this be arousing to me? How come I'm even turning to this? But it's because your body was awakened early, and that you know, without you,
for
even
sure.
though you knew it was bad and you didn't like it, your body responded. And that is so confusing to a child's mind who isn't fully developed.
For sure.
You know?
I think you should talk about triggers.
Yes. Triggers and flashbacks, because flashbacks can happen also. So now the thing about this is when you're alone, you're in control when you're alone, and you control your fantasy. When you transfer that fantasy to somebody else, you're no longer in control of that fantasy to some degree. So,
that's why you need a safe word, so you still are.
Right. You need to be able. But you see, in this situation, it felt confusing to her when her partner did it. It means that, in fact, having somebody else do this made her not feel. And then she tied that in with, well, the self-worth part, which, of course, could also be a fact. So there's nothing, it's not that there's anything wrong with you, but these are actually typical responses in many ways that many people experience who have been molested, who have been abused. Recommendation is to, if you haven't worked, the impact.
I just want to add something. BDSM is something that you have to do when you're comfortable with who you are, with your body. And, you know, BDSM is not there to do a therapy or to try to solve any type of problem
right.
you may have.
Right.
The gentleman who called was basically, what I could hear is the partners wanted him to kind of fix these things, and he could not. He could never fix them.
But it made him uncomfortable because
for good reason.
It put him in a position of so-called abuser. He might have felt that mm-hmm. way,
yep.
and he wasn't comfortable with that. And in a situation...
Well, DOMs have limits too. And
right.
and I
yes.
think a lot of people, when they're talking about the negotiation, they're talking about that. It's like, what will the sub do? How far can the DOM go? It's all about the, but you know what? DOMs have limits too. And if it's something that the sub wants you to do and you're not comfortable with, that's when you put on the brakes.
Right. You have a and safe word too, right?
Absolutely.
You're allowed.
Right? Well, you know, you just stop, right? Mm-hmm. because you're hopefully in control of the situation. But you know what? There's lots of times you back up. And I'd like to also say, for a lot of women who are, I'm going to say, wired BDSM, it can be very confusing, you know, especially when you're getting these feelings, because it's like something like a rape will be exciting. It's like, oh my God, what's the matter with me?
Right.
It's not that you really want to be raped. It's the idea that you're not in control, so your body can just react, and it wasn't your fault, and all the inhibitions can go away. But
you really are in control because it's your fantasy.
That's it. If you do want to try and put these fantasies to another person, be it rape or forced or anything like that,
fantasy.
You really have to talk about it first. And you really have to talk about safe words, slow words, and
limits.
And so that everything can be in a good, happy way. So that you can say, you know, when it's starting to get confusing and it's not getting fun, you can say slow down. You can do a yellow and your partner can switch it up. Maybe rather than do, you know, because sometimes it's not fun. They don't want to call the yellow because they don't want everything to just stop and then it's over
you
like it was
red.
A failure.
You mean
the red.
Red.
Yes,
the
sorry,
red.
The red.
Do you know of any studies that show a link between BDSM?
The science of psychology is almost based on people who have been abused in their childhood. If you look at it and... you know, quickly. So it's really hard to say because a lot of people are going to say that we're not case because of such a thing. And no, we don't know of any studies about this. We know that in general, there's a lot of people who have been abused in the world.
Yes.
You know?
That's true. 1 in 4, 1 in 5 girls, for sure.
It could range from bullying at school to incest at home or something like this. So,
I don't think it almost even has to be what we would think of as sexual.
Not
I think
almost
bullying
sexual.
Can, and teasing or...
It would be an interesting study, nonetheless.
Yeah. Peer pressure.
This texter writes, aftercare, look after the people you play with.
Which absolutely.
Of course, emotionally and physically and everything. Thing.
But alas, this is not something that was shown
on any movie.
Nope.
This question, is it common for a woman to dominate another woman if neither of them are gay?
Yes.
I do.
Okay.
We know many people who
I'm
does that.
I'm not really gay. I'm not really, I call myself kind of bi, but I'm only bi for BDSM.
Okay. And in your life, well, you peers your partner, but.
Okay. I am.
So you will dominate another
absolutely,
woman as a straight
totally
woman.
Enjoy it. Okay.
As a straight woman.
Mind you, you're oh, but by in BDSM only.
Yes.
Okay.
Only in BDSM. There's lots of people that will only in BDSM.
There's limits.
And there's limits of what I would enjoy doing and not enjoy doing.
Okay. So then the answer. If you have questions for Pierre and Catherine of BDSM Circle, tonight's the night, alternative sexuality. We have one interesting text, a little nasty, but it does represent a little bit of how some people think. So I want to address it. nonetheless.
This is Passion with Dr. Lori.
It's hard not to sing along. This is our theme song for alternative sexuality, BDSM, tonight on the program. Pierre and Catherine of BDSM Circle are here. I'm sure you get this. Well, look, we've been doing the show for a few years together, so I know we get this because every once in a while we'll get a little...
Nutters?
If you want to call them nutters, fine. Geez, listening to this show, I feel like the Antichrist lives among us. I'm not religious or anything, but I wish these people could put the energy they spend on their sexual deviations to better use. Help your fellow man in need.
Hey, what's Trump got to do with this?
Good one.
But who says it's deviation? This is what I found interesting.
Right. Well, to a lot of people.
And who says we're not Christian or Jewish or Muslim or whoever?
Right.
You know,
I'll tell
you, there's people from all walks of life that practice BDSM.
And let me just say, because somebody asked, what is BDSM? Bondage, discipline, sadomasochism, or domination, submission.
It's
kink. Kink, otherwise known as kink.
Yeah, I'm a kinkster. Put it that way.
Okay.
And there's lots of people who do that. They do it in their bedroom. You wouldn't know if you saw me that I'm anything other than just a nice lady next door.
That's right.
I am a nice lady. I work full time. My husband works full time. We have pets that we take way good care of. You know,
you're involved in your community.
We're involved in the community. We do volunteer work. We love Disney World. You know, how am I an Antichrist? Because I have a sexuality that you don't disagree with. You narrow-minded, intolerant.
What I found interesting is people really have to judge, you know, when they see something they don't understand, instead of trying to get the information.
Or tolerance.
Well, tolerance is something else.
Tolerance is 2017 here.
Yeah. At least, at the very least, tolerance. Because there's tolerance. Except we've had that argument before. And I've been shot down for that one, too. Oh, sure. Then accept everything. But that's not what we're talking about. Okay. Why doesn't the Montreal BDSM circle or community, I guess, have masquerade parties like Toronto for the tentatively curious? See, somebody wants you guys to start doing these circles.
Let me go with this. Years ago, we used to have what they call masquerade. It's basically a night in a club, a BDSM club, where they would show off to the new people what BDSM is, answer questions, stuff like this.
Okay, so we did have this in Montreal.
We used to have this. Now the problem is many regular club, okay, quote-unquote regular club, have BDSM night.
Ah.
And I would not be caught dead in one of these nights.
Okay.
Because people do all kind of stuff that is dangerous. They don't care about safety. They don't care about respect.
People, they just want people in their bar, their establishment, so they'll rent across from somewhere, they'll get somebody who's that, so they'll bring in some equipment, they throw in the bar, you get people that are half drunk, going there playing that aren't BDSMers, that are just, come on, Mary, I'm going to give you a spanking,
right.
You know, and you want to get the banjos going. It's like, it's terrible to watch, it's horrifying, it's dangerous a lot of times, and I wouldn't be caught dead, and then we've been there, done that, and fled.
And here's the problem. The good club that we used to have for BDSM in Montreal all closed down because they cannot survive.
Right.
I did the research to open a business as a BDSM club. What it was, you know, what we needed and stuff like this. It's impossible.
I mean, it's little private dungeons or semi-private dungeons.
But they're illegal.
And
they're illegal because sexuality happens in them.
Oh, and you cannot get insurance.
Oh. It's not so much that they'll have... intercourse and things like that, and they will use quite a few of them will have where you have to be covered enough that it's not
nudity,
legal, okay, like your pasties or whatever you call it, their thongs, but you know, you kind of have to like get into the community a little bit. You have to go to some munches and things like that to get invited to them. Because you kind of have to get almost like vetted in,
like
to a
meetups.
Certain
extent. You have to kind of find a meetup group that's separate.
And
you know,
and that's a
or
problem.
Or go to Toronto. Maybe Toronto still has some. I don't know.
Well, Toronto is same
thing.
The same problem.
So I think they have the same problem.
Yeah. I mean, we do have the masquerades once in a while.
Once a year, there's a big what they call the fetish weekend.
Long weekend.
Not the greatest,
Montreal,
but at least it's a little more. under control, if
right.
I could call it.
They may
it
have it in Toronto, too. I forget.
Yes, they do,
they
actually.
Do, eh? Right. They have do. Montreal and Toronto does fest. I mean, it's gotten to be quite mainstream that there's weekends dedicated to yeah. it. Movies dedicated
movies,
to it. So
music.
I like what Ian said. He says, don't even bother giving that texter your time. And I'll tell you why I read that text. Because to me, it's important that we point out sometimes the ignorance or the intolerance of the society in which we live in, of certain people in the society in which we live in, which kind of exemplifies a little bit what you might be going through and why it's difficult.
We're trying to make people safe. And that's a lot of the reason we do it, is because there's people out there, they're embarrassed, they don't know where to get the right information.
A lot of people want to learn.
You know, especially when we first started doing this. We've been doing this a long time. It's going on like 17 years that, mm-hmm. that we've had this website. And there weren't that many websites out there
that's
and
right.
that much information. And we're just trying to make people safe. We're not trying to convert people, you know. But if it's what you're going to do, we'd rather you not hurt yourself when you're trying to do it.
Right, and get the right information.
And here's another thing. In BDSM, there's a lot of respect. There's a lot of rules that are followed for, you know,
etiquette.
If you look at the world in general, this respect does not even exist. If you work, if you, you know, in working situation or even social situation, I mean, there's courtesy. More respect in BDSM, which is supposed to be about domination mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. submission, than the real world.
They right. have very different rules. If you,
swinger
right.
clubs
instance.
Do less and less night for BDSM now because they had problems.
You know, they'll touch people and
without consent,
and
right?
Things
right,
like
right.
that.
Although that breaks, from what I understand.
There is.
It's different, though.
Yeah. Let's get to some other texters here. So the woman who wrote in, you know, is it common for a woman to dominate another woman? If not, writes, I'm strictly heterosexual
yes.
and not attracted to women in real life in the least. However, I often fantasize about hyper-sexy women as my sex toys, and I find it really arousing, but only in fantasy. Love to hear your thoughts. So. But again,
well,
fantasy isn't reality.
Well, you know what? It was only in my fantasy until I did it too.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I have no attraction to women in a romantic way. Well, unless it's BDSM.
Okay.
Right? And then I actually have very specific types and everything. A very specific type. But
so you're exactly
I've taken it for, but I was exactly there.
Okay.
And I would, before having a female BDSM partner, I actually had a very close friend of mine that came out of the closet and wanted to have more, and she was a beautiful woman, but it's like, no,
right.
not working for me.
Right, not
now,
the romantic side, but the BDSM side.
Well,
she
wasn't BDSM.
Right. Okay,
right,
so that's, yeah.
No.
And in the case of this lady, you have to look at the exchange of power. That's probably interesting.
It's really right. common.
Okay, well, there you go. One last very quick question. Is it okay for a man to walk into a lingerie store and buy lingerie for himself and not feel embarrassed because people like to look and judge? My friend says, the hell with them, buy what you want. I would be with the hell with them, buy what you want.
I would go into a store, and if you find someone who is not receptive, then go to another store and give them
right.
your business.
And then there's always online. There's
yeah, exactly.
You can buy
always
a lot
online.
Of stuff online.
And usually these stores have professional people, so they, you know, Keep their
mouth shut.
Keep their mouth shut. Yeah.
Their judgments to themselves, because after
exactly.
all, they want to sell you lingerie.
Exactly.
That's the other thing. So
true.
There you go. Go when there's hardly anybody in the store. Thank you for being here, as usual. Always an enlightening conversation and a dynamic conversation. Thank you to all who texted in, called in, listened in. Thanks to our technical crew in Montreal and in Toronto. If you need to get in touch with me, you could do that through my website, drlaurie.com. That's drlaurie.com. Through Facebook, Twitter, Instagram at Dr. Laurie Betito, Betito is how you spell my last name. We'll talk again tomorrow night. Tomorrow night we talk about addictions, especially sex addiction. But right now I want you to stay tuned for the comedy show with your funny host, Joey Elias. Have a wonderful rest of the evening and remember to fill your life with...
Listen to Passion with Dr. Laurie Betito, live weeknights 10 to 11 on CJAD and CJAD.com.